I know some of you came here this evening, or I guess it's this evening now because it's just past 5 o'clock, because someone brought you here and you came kind of out of obligation, and some of you came because you want to be here. And I don't know why your reasoning for being here tonight, but I'm just going to ask all of us for the next few moments just to give me just your attention, because we're going to talk about some things here that we feel are really important, especially when it comes to the Christmas season. So at Sturgeon Alliance, this past few weeks, we've been talking about a cosmic Christmas story. And we've been looking at the cosmic encounters in the Christmas story from the angels, when angels appeared to people and they gave them a message. And we've been looking at what those messages tell us about God and this plan of salvation that he has for us. And tonight we are going to look briefly at the most amazing, the most spectacular cosmic encounter in the Christmas story. And that's the encounter with the shepherds. A few weeks ago, around, I think it was in November, it was on a Tuesday night. I was taking my son into the city. My son does this thing called European swordsmanship. It's kind of like a martial arts with swords. And it's just on the east side of the city, just off Baseline Road, just kind of right across from Sherwood Park there. So if you know where that is, just past the refineries. And as soon as we got on the highway out here on 28A, we noticed in the direction of the city, there was this really abnormal bright light. Now, we know what the glow of the city looks like from a distance, and we've seen it on clear days, and it's kind of the glow of lights in the city. We can see it from Gibbons on clear days. But this was different. This was one bright spot because there was this, it looked like a Batman light, straight, like piercing the sky straight up like a couple hundred yards. And we didn't know where it was. At first, I thought it might have been around the prison area, you know, as you drive into town. And I'm like, what is going on? And so as we drove, it was kind of this mesmerizing spectacle. We couldn't take our eyes off of it. And my son and I talked about it because we've never seen anything like this before. And as we got to the prison, we realized it wasn't there, and we realized it was in the city somewhere. And sure enough, we go past the lights there and get on Anthony Henday, and we head on the east side of Anthony Henday, and I realize it's at one of the refineries there. And that one refinery right beside Anthony Henday, it wasn't there, and we turn off on Baseline Road, and there's the big Esso refinery, and sure enough, there was this, I guess they call it a diversion fire stack from people that work there, that when they're having troubles on the refinery, they have to divert their product and burn it off. I've seen the fire before, and it's a flame that maybe goes up 20, 30, 50 feet, but this was unreal. I took a picture of it here as we were going, and that's when it was smaller. And it would lit up the whole area. People were stopping. People were stopping and taking pictures of this thing with these big fancy cameras. And this is my iPhone 6, so the quality's not very good. It just seems like a glowing light. And I think I even, this is like when I came back again and it came even smaller. And I even took some video of it here. And you can see it kind of glowing. That's about 10 seconds of video of it. It was amazing. It felt like if you were out there standing next to it, you could just feel the heat from this thing just gonna melt your face. And I understand that if they'd write this, that they're having problems. They were probably having big problems that day. Unfortunately, fire can be awesome and mesmerizing sometimes, can't it? And when I saw that, I thought, I wonder what it was like for the shepherds on that first Christmas Eve when they encountered this cosmic angel in the sky. It was peace and quiet. It was just black. And all of a sudden, this angel appeared. And then a multitude of angels appeared in the sky. You can imagine what this angel was like. The Old Testament has a word for angels. It's called seraphim. We sing it in some of our songs. The actual literal translation of seraphim is burning one or fiery one. Huh. Now, I wonder what it was like. Let's read this once again about the shepherd's encounter. Caleb, put her up there for me. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Man, can you imagine what it was like to be an angel? And you had this job from God, and God told you to go speak to people this particular message. And if you were told by God to go speak this message to people, I'm sure every single time you'd have the same response. "Oh, really, God? I have to go speak to people?" Because every time I show myself to people, it's the same response. Everyone is absolutely terrified. And I'm sure that you would have a complex as an angel. If anyone ever seen Beauty and the Beast, when the beast has to show his face to people and he scares everyone, that's what happens almost every single time in the Bible when an angel shows himself to someone. There, the response is, "Don't be afraid, fear not." It's crazy. We sing in the song "Silent Night," "Shepherds quake at the sight." If just one of those angels that appeared to the shepherds in that first Christmas morning appeared to us here tonight, I'm sure none of you would want to come back. You'd be terrified. It wouldn't give you the warm fuzzies. But this is a multitude of burning ones, a multitude of heavenly hosts in the sky. Now, angel activity is not very common in the Bible. It's not very common today. And it increases around major events in Jesus' life, when he was born, and when he rose from the dead, and then when he comes again the second time. And this is the largest supernatural spectacle, the largest cosmic visit by angels before his second coming that was ever seen by mankind. And we see in the Bible, too, that God is also described as fire and light. In fact, in Hebrews, it says that he's a consuming fire. And in 1 Timothy, it says that he lives in unapproachable light. And all throughout the Old Testament, you see God represented as fire. On Mount Sinai, he's a fire. He appeared to Moses in fire. He led the people of Israel as a cloud of fire. And John in Revelation, when he sees him, he's just in this unapproachable light. It's like when you're driving at sunset and the sun is really low on the horizon and you have to look in the direction of the sun and you don't want to look in the direction of the sun and you're kind of putting your visor down and putting your hand up and you don't want to look that way. That's what it's like to look at the presence of God. And we've been studying in Revelation this fall, and John, this guy, this prophet, he has this encounter where he goes up into heaven and he sees this God in unapproachable light, and that's his experience. And he has all of these other burning ones, these seraphim, these angels around them, and it says that they're covered with eyes. These angels are completely covered with eyes, and they're intensely looking at the sun, looking at the glory of God. And all they can say is this: "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come." We say holy means set apart. it's like beyond us. It's other than us. And we say it like when we're amazed by something. And these angels are all day, day and night, saying, holy, 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 holy. They can't stop saying it. Now imagine with me for a moment. You're going to open presents tomorrow morning, many of you. And you're going to get some little gizmo, something in your hand. And someone's going to go, wow, that's awesome. That's amazing. Or maybe even say, holy. We imagine if they said that in the evening. They're continually saying, wow, amazing. And then the next day in Boxing Day, they're still sitting there going, wow, amazing, holy, this is awesome, wow, wow. Imagine the New Year's Day, they're still saying that, amazing, wow, holy, holy. And then the next Christmas, they're still saying that. Let's be honest, most of that stuff we're going to get tomorrow is going to end up in the Givens yard sale in a few while, right? But these angels who are covered with eyes because they can't take in all of the glory of God are continually saying over and over because they can't get enough of it, holy, 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 holy. And some of these angels leave the presence of God just for a moment on this first Christmas, and they come to see these shepherds, and they can't stop talking about the glory of God. And here's what they say. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. And I'm sure if I'm one of those shepherds in that moment, and I experience those burning ones who come out of the presence of the ultimate burning one, and they come and see him, and they show themselves to these shepherds, that they thought in that moment, whatever this is, I hope it comes in peace. I hope it's favor rests on me. I don't want to be on its unfavorable side. I want to be on its bad side. I want to be on its good side. Well, how do we have this peace with God's, this ultimate burning one? How can his favor rest on us so that we're not consumed by his fire? Well, the bad news is that there's nothing that we can do in ourselves to earn God's favor. There's nothing that we can do in ourselves to keep from being consumed if we were to encounter this God, to be consumed by God, to earn his favor, to be at peace with him. It's something that God has to do for us. You see, God's favor can't rest on us because of this thing in all of our lives called sin. And sin is falling short of the holiness of God. Every time we disobey, every time we disobey what God has commanded us to do in the Bible, it is sin. And his favor can't rest on us because of this thing called sin. Anyone ever been to the Calgary Zoo? I went there for the very first time this summer with my family, and I was impressed. I didn't expect anything like this in Canada. It was awesome. Like, they have this whole section, this Asia section with all the animals, and they do it up well. And they have this whole section, the Africa section and the North America section, and there's like thousands and thousands of people there. And I loved, though, the Africa section because they just seem to have the most exotic animals. And one of the craziest and one of the funniest animals that I think God created was the hippopotamus. It's like God said, you're continually going to be fat and big-boned and you can't do anything about it. And what was interesting at the zoo is on the other side of the fence there, they put the other animal that's juxtaposed to the hippopotamus that God made, the giraffe. This tall, slender, skinny animal next to this short, fast, stubby animal. And these were really cool. And we were doing the tourist thing, and we had our phones out and taking all kinds of pictures. And we're like, hey, look, there's a gorilla over here. Hey, look, there's a lion over here. There's a tiger over here. And when we got to the hippos, hey, look, there's a hippos. And we was like 50 people all gathering around. And as you can see, there's this fence, and then there's another fence you're supposed to stay behind. But beside to the right over here, there were these trees, and you could see that people kind of marched in there a little bit so that they could get a closer picture with their phone. And so I did that, probably realizing I shouldn't have done that, but I got up there close. Now, I have a little beef with the Calgary Zoo, is that they don't warn you about particular things very well. You see, after what I'm going to explain happened, I saw this sign right here. Hippos mark their territory you may be sprayed in a little obscure spot away from the hippos. And I thought you should put that like front and center above the hippos, because I took this picture as I'm wedging in close, and I now realize why that grass is so green right there. This thing, about 10 seconds later, turns left, backs up, and you could hear almost the truck backing up. Beep, beep, beep. And all 30 of us in the area sensed that there was some volcano about to erupt. And I want to let you know that that was the grossest thing I have ever seen or heard in my life. And I am standing right there. And no word of a lie, there's a kid beside me right here, and everyone senses it's going to blow. And I turn and run, and I bowl like this kid right here. I'm going to run him over, and I'm carrying him out, and the whole place is just being sprayed. And I'm apologizing to the mom. I'm sorry, I almost killed your kid. And she says, it's all right, it's all right, it's all right. I'm just glad you didn't get sprayed. And it cleared the whole area. It just cleared the whole area. Now imagine with me for a moment, okay? That I didn't have a clue when the truck was backing up, and I stood right there, and I got covered in this stuff. And then I went to my family, and I wanted to give them a hug. I tell you, there would not be favor. There would be hostility. There would not be peace in that relationship. They would say, get away from me. You're covered in this stuff. And that is the exact same way God sees us in our sin. We are covered with sin, and he can't tolerate it in his holy presence. We have to be clean before we can come into his holy presence, or we will be consumed with his fire. We will be consumed by him. And that's the bad news. But the good news is this. The good news is in the Christmas message is that God has provided a way for us to be clean through his Savior Jesus so that we're not consumed by his fire. One of the things the angels said to the shepherds, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. A Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. The good news is that we can be washed clean of our sin by this Savior so that we can receive God's favor. We can be welcomed into his presence. We've been learning in Revelation this fall at the church here about this concept in Revelation about being washed in the blood of the Lamb. Which means that Jesus came not just as a baby in a manger. He came to die on the cross as the perfect Lamb of God for our sins. He shed his blood on the cross for our sins. And if we accept what Jesus did for us on the cross, his blood, in a spiritual sense, washes us clean of our sin so that we can stand in the presence of God. 1 John says it this way. God is light. He's this consuming fire. He lives in unapproachable light, and in him is no darkness at all. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us. He'll clean us. He'll purify us from all unrighteousness. We're purified through what Jesus did for us on the cross. We're washed in the blood. Last Christmas, our family received this little white bundle of joy, this little dog. We named him Charlie. We got him from Corley Duguid. Now, I'm not an animal person, but this is growing on me a little bit. I'm not a dog person for sure, but this is growing on me a little bit. I don't like the mess of dogs, particularly the inconvenience, but particularly the mess of dogs. About September, it was a rainy day. My wife takes little Charlie out for a walk. We live out near Landing Trail. And we were walking, I think it was in by Landing, she was walking in by Landing Trail Estates. And it had been raining for a few days. Believe it or not, this summer it was raining a lot. But in September, it was raining. And there was this one little mud hole that didn't even look like a mud hole. And little Charlie walks right up to it. And she said it was the funniest thing. He literally disappeared. He fell in there, and she just saw his leash in the mud puddle. So she runs over there and she pulls him out. Now, we didn't get a picture, unfortunately. I found, this isn't Charlie, but I found a picture online, but this is what he looked like. Right, like that. That's what he looked like. And so she picks him up and brings him home and yells into the house. And I said, do not bring Charlie in the house. He is filthy. And so it was all hands on deck as Caleb and Leah and Erica and myself were getting buckets of water and washing him. And it took about a half hour to get him back to white, clean, spotless. All hands on deck. The Christmas story shows us that God is all hands on deck to provide a way so that we can be clean from our sin. And it's something that he has to do, not that we do for ourselves. Charlie couldn't clean himself. And we can't clean ourselves. There's nothing that we can do to earn God's favor. There's nothing that we can do to make this peace with God. It's something that we have to let God do for us, except that he died on the cross for our sins, and he washes us clean of our sin. What about you? Do you have this peace with God? Does his favor rest on you? If you were to encounter this ultimate burning one, would you be consumed because of your sin? We've been learning in the Revelation series this fall that God is coming back in a full blaze of his glory, and it's going to be an even more majestic encounter than the shepherds experienced that Christmas, that first Christmas. If you were to experience that, does God's favor rest on you? Does God's peace rest on you? And if you don't experience that, someday you are going to stand before the ultimate burning one. Have you let Jesus wash you clean from your sin? Let's pray. Tonight, if you would like to be washed clean of your sin, I just ask you to repeat this little prayer in your heart to God. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth as a baby. Thank you, Lord, that you are perfect and that you died on the cross for my sin. I accept your sacrifice for my sin. Please come into my life. In Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for an opportunity. Just remember the true meaning of Christmas. Thank you for coming to this earth and being born, but also dying for our sins so that we can be made clean. I pray that we would remember that and ponder that over the next days. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer tonight, would you come and see me? I'll be at the door and just tell me. I'd love to talk with you about how you can grow in your relationship with Jesus. We're going to sing one more song.